Welcome to Red Eye. It's like, let's make a deal. If by deal, you mean meth lab. Let's go to TV's Andy Levy for a pregame report. Andy, what's coming up on tonight's show?
That's not what most people mean by deal, Greg. Coming up on the big show, why has Al Gore been missing in action lately? We'll ask the question and make up some answers straight ahead. Plus, is winning Olympic bronze more satisfying than winning Olympic silver? Some say yes, but others say that some who say yes must not understand how the medal system works. And finally, chastity belts for dogs? This wild and wacky story coming up as soon as it comes up.
Greg? I like it how you raise it as a question, Andy.
Thank you, Greg. Also, congratulations to Canada, which beat the USA to win the gold medal in what will hopefully be the last game of women's ice hockey ever played at the Olympics. Greg.
It really is adorable how they think they can skate.
It's just a god-awful sport is what it is.
See you later. All right. Well, they're cool. They're clever. They're clingy. But enough about knee socks. Let's welcome our guest. She's the strawberry blonde that I'm most fond of. I'm here tonight with Fox News Channel anchor Patty Ann Brown. She's so hot she gives the sun tan lines. And when it comes to his voice, he's the sailor's choice. Anthony Cumia. He co-hosts the Opie and Anthony Show weekdays from 6 a.m. to noon Eastern on XM Radio Channel 202 and Sirius Radio Channel 197. The virus. Wit were Banaka, I'd squirt him on my tongue.
Ooh.
And he's the pine to my tar, the bell to my jar, the Mayan to my mar. Yes, it's my repulsive sidekick, Bill Schultz. He still wears rainbow bright underwear. And his cup of tea, markets that are free. Sitting right next to me, Nick Gillespie, it all rhymes. Reason.tv and Reason.com's editor-in-chief. He's so smart, brainwaves are now called Nick Waves. And you'd shoot him in the eye, then leave him to die. It's our New York Times correspondent. Good to see you again, Pinch.
Blah, 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 feet. Blah, 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 tea party, you're racist. Blah, blah. Is it Friday yet, Greg?
It's almost there.
All right.
All right, almost time for the weekend edition.
Yeah. It's going to be a big one. Something's going to be happening in the magazine. I'm sure Marine Dad's going to say something about something.
Excellent.
You know.
Yep, all right.
Yeah.
Well, it was a powwow of all things ow-ow. As you probably already know, President Obama met with a bipartisan group of powerful peeps to discuss the state of health care reform. It was long, informative, and long. Did I say it was long? Man, it was long. Among the topics hit, how the Dems' current plan will affect the deficit, the rising cost of Medicare and Medicaid, and, of course, the issue of something. Oh, for God's sakes. I didn't watch a single second of it. But you know what I did see? This amazing new Friskies ad. It's going to blow your mind and then break your nose.
What if one little pop could open a world of wonder? So sensory, so satisfying. The discovery never seems to stop.
Oh, my God, I'm so high, and I haven't taken anything. Nick, when the cat gets on the boat, I'm thinking that he's going somewhere awesome. I don't know where.
I don't know. You know, all that's missing are the blue meanies from Yellow Submarine, but it might be that I'm just getting older, but suddenly I start to understand why old people eat cat food.
You know, I never understood. Exactly. Do old people really eat cat food? Or was that some kind of...
No, they just kind of gum it.
Okay.
I thought they actually ate cats.
No.
That's what I heard. Depending on the drugs they're on. Yes.
Stop demeaning old people. PAB, how does this sell cat food? I mean, it's selling cat food to me, but I don't own cats.
Are you kidding? I mean, I'll have what he's having. I mean, I think, obviously, Nick's right. They're looking to expand their market into humans because, I mean, after looking at that commercial... Uh-huh. You know, obviously, there just aren't enough cats around. They need to expand their business.
Well, you know, Anthony, are they trying to say Friskies is like ecstasy?
I just don't. Is the cat the smoke monster or John Locke? That wasn't a clip from Lost this season? Oh, I thought I understood it a little better than Lost. All right.
Yeah, it was more coherent.
Okay.
Bill, you already eat Friskies, but does this make you want it even more?
Tender vittles. But in the interest of responsible journalism, I did have some Friskies before the show. And I got to say, Greg, I am feeling nothing right now. Bad average. Oh, wait.
is Wilford Brimley
working camera one. He wants me to jump out the window, Greg.
No. Ooh. That's just Tony. Ooh. Leave him alone.
Hello, hands.
Nick, why is it that somehow cat commercials do make cat food seem like better than human food?
Yeah. That's like pate.
Yeah, it is like pate. It is. It looks exactly. How do we know it's not pate?
You know, I hate to say it, but by tasting it.
Yeah, that's true. You have to taste it. PAP, I got to ask you, are they appealing to people that did drugs in college saying, you remember how you felt back then? This is how your cat will feel?
I definitely think so. I mean, obviously it's a retro.
I'm trying to get my way through it. I got something in my eye, and nobody's paying attention to me. Somebody should get me a napkin of some kind.
You had a kitty like that when you were a kid.
I did. It's making me cry.
Greg, did your cat die of a drug overdose?
Yes, it did.
Why are we even doing this story? It's hitting too close to home.
Oh, Greg.
Just say no, meow, meow.
All right.
Your cat named Diane Linkletter?
Yes, it was. All right, we got to move on. And now to the Greg log. It's a fresh puddle of leprechaun tears.
Greg tears. Speaking of which,
what is up with my eye?
You get something in your eye when you're wearing glasses.
I don't know. You know what it is? Because there's like dust in here, and it hits your contacts block your eyes from dust.
Somebody's on Friskies.
All right. Yeah, so as you know, I often end my Greg logs with the phrase, if you disagree with me, then you, sir, are worse than Hitler. At times, I've changed it to, you're probably a racist, you're probably a homophobe, and my favorite, you're probably a racist homophobe who wears denim cutoffs. But, you know, most people get it, but some don't, especially clueless. Those lefties outraged that I would compare people to Hitler. Amazingly ignorant that I'm mocking them for doing the same thing to Bush and Cheney. Anyway, I assumed that the left would finally stop with this crap now that they've got their god in charge. But no. Check out TheRoot.com, a Washington Post blog whose list, black folks we'd like to remove from black history, includes Clarence Thomas and Republican Party Chairman Michael Steele, alongside Idi Amin, the D.C. sniper, Zimbabwe thug Robert Mugabe, and Haitian dictators Papa Doc and Baby Doc Duvalier. Their point, black Republicans are as bad as genocidal maniacs. Wow. Meanwhile, during a Senate hearing, socialist Bernie Sanders compared climate change skeptics to Nazi appeasers. How weird is it that a socialist would have the stones to say capitalists are worse than Hitler? Sorry, Bernie, look it up. Hitler was one of yours, D-bag. Anyway, it serves to remind us all that the people on the other side don't just disagree with you, they hate you. They want to ruin you, which is why we should look to Andrew Breitbart for some inspiration. He's right when he says, quote, bullies crumble when you hit them back. So let's hit them back. As hard as possible. Metaphorically, of course, prison sucks. And if you disagree with me, then you, sir, are worse than Bernie Sanders underpants. PAB, does Bernie Sanders have a point? That climate change deniers are just like Nazi appeasers.
I don't understand how anyone could not be skeptical at this point in the wake of ClimateGate. I mean, we have these emails where they admit, gee, the Earth doesn't seem to be warming, and, oh, well, we tried to use trickery, and we still couldn't make it work. And, you know, at the end of the day, maybe it is warming, but we need to see the proof. And I am concerned about the environment, and I try to do the right thing. I drive a hybrid. I have the green bags, the whole thing. But I don't think we should do anything that might cause harm until we know what's really going on.
I had the green bags. The doctor cured that. Penicillin. Take care.
I told you when you went to Thailand to be careful.
Understand. I should have listened.
But I got to ask you, both sides tend to deal in inflammatory rhetoric, but I seem to think the left started this first. And I'm not just talking about with Bush and with Cheney, but I'm going back to Reagan. I mean, they were comparing Reagan to some totalitarian fascists and stuff like
what
that.
What did they say before Hitler?
I don't know.
That's like what I'm wondering. And I don't believe in global warming at all, but to be compared to the be-all, end-all of evil gentlemen, I don't like it. I'll take a little evil. It's like, all right, you don't believe in global warming, you're as evil as the frat guy that wrote PUD on his friend's head when he was passed out. That's PUD. All the evil I'm taking.
That would really spice up C-SPAN.
Exactly. They go right to Hitler.
Robert Byrd falls asleep in the Senate and somebody writes PUD on his head.
You know, Nick, here's the thing. You're a libertarian, so you kind of avoid I don't see libertarians often say using this kind of rhetoric against
somebody else. They still use the Dewey Decimal System?
Yeah.
Well, it's I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
That's a commonest plot. Sorry.
Do you see this kind of rhetoric in the world of libertarianism?
Often, directed towards me. So,
yeah.
By other libertarians.
But they are scared because you're usually well armed.
I hope so. I want to go back to your Gregalog where you said that bullies, if you hit them, they crumble. Mm-hmm. I can tell you from a childhood's worth of ass kicking, that's totally not true. For the kids watching out there,
bullies.
I happen to learn all of that from after school specials.
Yeah.
That if you confront the bully and you either hit him or you embarrass him in front of a group of people, it's
Greg,
over.
Greg, the people you were hitting were nerds. You were the bully, my friend. I hate to break this to you. I was
it's not going to work with a real bully.
I was into preemptive bullying stopping.
Yeah, with people with glasses and asthma. Greg, they were not an enemy. They were just sitting there doing math, you jerk.
Bill, you're just getting emotional because you agreed with all of those people that I mentioned.
Well, I want to go back to this Root.com thing. I'm going to say it wasn't funny, but it was meant to be. I hate to burst your outrage bubble, but they were doing the same thing you do. They were, you know what else was on their list? Omarosa, Dennis Rodman, Marion Barry, who's a Democrat and a crack addict. But they were all on the list. Greg, it was a bad attempt at humor, but they were trying to be humorous just as you do with your Hitler thing every night. The left can do it too.
Yeah, but they just do it poorly.
Well, but that wasn't the topic in your Gregalog.
Yeah,
you took them seriously.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I just took that part seriously.
Well, you were cherry picking.
The larger point is that, the Root is part of Slate, and it's where Slate kind of segregates their black writers.
No, that is not true. They are the band in Jimmy Fallon Show.
No, I
know this for a fact.
Bill, that's the Roots.
Yeah.
What's
the
Roots?
Great movie.
All right. Terrible.
Saying.
Oh, white people. From insults to idiots. It's a question a lot of people are asking, and by a lot of people, I mean me and the guy who's dating my sister. FYI, he's a jerk.
Yeah.
The question, where in the world is Al Gore? There was a time when it seemed you couldn't turn on your TV without seeing the pompous pontificator, whether it was on the news, at an award show, or on the news. But now, as global warming enthusiasts are mired in scandals and forced to backtrack from many of their claims, the man who won a Nobel Prize for his junk science has vanished like the once popular lawn dart. And now, Republican Senators James Inhofe would like Gore to return to the spotlight in order to testify on Capitol Hill. Inhofe wants Congress and the Justice Department to investigate what he's calling the greatest scientific scandal of our generation. And he's invited Gore to pay a visit to the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. Here's Inhofe talking to my close personal friend, Neil Cavuto, this week. We hang out.
Well, we haven't heard anything from Al Gore, Neil, and I don't anticipate that we will, but we'd like to have him come, hold a hearing in Environment Public Works. Every assertion that he made in his science fiction movie has now been disproven. Sea level rising, Himalayas melting, and all this stuff. The significant thing right now, though, is the hearing that we had this morning, because we have the minority report that we put together, which shows that ClimateGate, fixing the science, cooking the science, actually took place. We have it all documented, and people are being investigated right now.
Like, we asked a lemur to respond. Lemur. Lemur doesn't care. Lemur just wants to dance. Hey, lemur, we got problems here. Stop dancing, lemur. All right, PAB, does Inhofe have a point? Shouldn't Gore rise above wherever he is, some hidden Gore bunker, and answer to his exaggerations that he's made over and over again?
Yeah, first of all, I was never worried about the sea levels rising. I just always figured the extra water would just, like, slide off the edges of the flat Earth.
Oh, very good.
Sounds science.
That sounds Inhofe-y, actually. He believes in that.
Oh, not true.
What?
Hey, you don't like the dinosaurs, I know that.
Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, they have found dozens of specific points in that movie that turned out to be inaccurate. And, when you're misleading an entire nation, or in fact the world, about things that are going to make them change their policies, it's pretty important. Mm.
Anthony, Trump says that Donald Trump, yes, not any of the other of Trumps, but Donald Trump says that the Nobel Prize that Gore won, he should give it back. Should he? I mean, who cares about the Nobel Prize? Anyway?
Yeah, who really cares about it? I don't think he should give it back. I do think they should change the name of his movie, though, to An Inconvenient Commute to Work because there's 2 feet of snow on my effing car.
It's wordy, but I like
it. It's a little more accurate.
Yes.
I think so. Right now, he's not seen also because he is with an alchemist trying to turn lead to gold using the same science they use for this climate BS.
You know who would have a real problem with the title, too, are the people that in the web promotions. Because the web, you'd have to type that in.
Yeah, but that's a URL that's probably not been taken.
Yes, that's
a good, that's
well,
a good
it
sign.
It is now.
Yeah, it will as of this.
Sure, there's porno on it.
Nick, is it just a coincidence he's not around?
I don't know. I think he was taking steroids when he won that prize, so he should give it back for that reason, as was Pearl Buck when she won the Nobel Prize for Literature.
That is true.
But, you know, the one thing, I have no interest in giving Al Gore a platform for anything, but I also don't, you know, the Senate has worse things to do with their time than grill a guy who, you know, 20 years ago was trying to ban rock and roll records.
Yes. But you know what I think? You know
Although
what he is?
He was right about that when he said that they're full of satanic messages.
Some of the bands he was right about.
Yeah, he was right
about it. But you know what? You know what I think he is? I think he's out killing polar bears. He's got to show the polar bear bodies. There's only been like 4 of them. He's got to kill. He's got to kill more. He's got to kill. You know, Bill, you have a poster of Al Gore above the bunk bed in the trailer that you live in out back. You must have some insight into where he is.
Well, I never really had much strong feelings about Al Gore one way or the other, but I love him now because Inhofe hates him. Now, I don't necessarily go to Al Gore for all my science, but I'm not going to go to Inhofe, who doesn't believe in evolution either. This guy is actually cites most of the scientists when it comes to his points on evolution are actually creationists. The creationist scientists, those words should never, ever meet in the same sentence or in the same building. And the fact that Cavuto didn't grill him a little more, shame on you, Cavuto. I might not invite you to my cocktail party this weekend.
You know, he's not
You're still invited.
He's not going to go to your party.
Inhofe doesn't care about global warming. He doesn't care about global warming deniers. He cares about getting his mug on TV, showing the little Al Gore igloo he made with his cute little kids. He cares about talking about the Nobel Peace Prize because at the end of the day, Inhofe likes seeing Inhofe on TV.
Well, I would say the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And if I disagree with Inhofe on something, I will agree with him that Al Gore is a fraud when it comes to global
You'll
warming.
You'll have to say that a lot slower with less syllables. Otherwise, Inhofe won't understand.
I think Inhofe
he's not a smart man.
He's investigating Hanna-Barbera for perpetuating the fraud that dinosaurs and humans live together on the Flintstones.
That is true. Yeah.
Look, you can joke all you want, but there is proof that you can start a car with your feet.
No, I mean,
Toyota's having a problem with cars that tip over when your rims on the side.
I think, and you'll agree with me, there's good Republicans and there's bad Republicans. There's good Democrats and there's bad Democrats.
You've lost me.
All right.
Would you cut him off?
No, but this guy's a bad cat. Like, it's one thing to be against gay marriage. He's gone on record saying he will never hire a gay. Anyone who's out, he won't hire him. This guy is a bad man.
I will say that Gore must be in a weird state because in order for him to succeed, the planet has to be in trouble and we have to be in peril. And that's not happening, so he doesn't know what to do. What do you do when everything that you've talked about has fallen apart?
He is actually, he's helping Arsenio Hall revamp the talk show.
Ooh, I can get behind that.
Okay. All right, we got to move on. Hey, you know what's awesome? Kicking back with me on my boat, smoking pipes. But also this upcoming story. Are dog chastity belts the answer? If the question is, what's the capital of Chile, then no. Is second place really a disgrace? And does winning the bronze make you a Fonz? The answer may hit on your mom. New research shows that Olympic bronze medal winners are actually happier with their finishes than silver medalists. The reason? Second placers are more likely to think about how close they were to winning gold, while those who win bronze are just happy to be on the podium. I feel the same way doing red eye. Just kidding. Shrinks call this counterfactual thinking and explains why some silver medalists sulk while other athletes cry tears of joy after coming in third. Meanwhile, a Washington Post columnist, one I like to call Captain Idiot Face, claims the Olympics show the world how arrogant America really is. Susan Jacoby writes, Olympic coverage offers a window into a deeply provincial, reflexively nationalistic mindset that hampers our understanding of the rest of the world and prevents any realistic assessment of American weaknesses and strengths in comparison to other countries. Wow. Let's go to Techno Viking for translation. We'll be right back. wish he was my dad. I'd come home and he'd be doing that all night, and I'd be just sitting there going, if that's my dad, Techno Viking.
If he's your dad, then I get to be your mom. Marry me, Techno Viking.
Hey, Nick, did the Olympics show you how self-centered and arrogant America was?
You know, it kind of showed me how self-centered and arrogant Bob Costas is, but I would really not like to mistake NBC's horrible programming for what's really wrong with America. Because we've got some real problems.
You know what? There was something, you know, Patty and Brand, you brought this up. Every time there was an injury, it became a political discussion about health care, didn't it?
Well, she was saying in the article, she's saying, you know, we're all our coverage was just so U.S.-centric. And, you know, why couldn't we talk about serious issues like an athlete's injured? Why don't we launch into a debate about the Canadian health care system? Yeah. Where are they? Oh, my God. NBC is trying to improve their ratings, people, not drop them more.
He is an idiot. Anthony, how about this whole bronze silver thing? What does this mean?
I think it's psychobabble listening to that. I mean, everybody wants the gold.
Yes.
And quite frankly, the bronze medal, where do you ever see them? Yeah. You don't see them going, I got a great endorsement on Count Chocula box.
You see them having simulated fellatio performed on them on Facebook.
Bronze people are the coolest.
Yeah, I thought that's why they're so
well, the bronze people have more fun because the second place winner, they wanted to win.
Yeah.
The bronzers were just like, maybe they're going to win. They're happy to finish, much like Bill is happy to finish usually in an alley. Does this story even matter to you? Because you've never really competed at anything other than being pathetic.
Are we done? Is there more?
Yeah. No,
I'm also a jerk. You forgot the last part. I kind of combine this story to the boring story we're doing, and the good story is that they're running out of condoms in the Olympic Village. Yeah. This is, of course, I mean, the bronzes are just happy to be there. We all know that. What I want to know is which of those medal winners are using the most of those condoms. Is it the bronze guys? Mm. Is it the silver guys? Is it the gold guys? Or is it Johnny Weir? Yeah. And I think it's Johnny Weir, Greg.
You know, I think your outfit today is a salute to Johnny Weir, if not maybe Martina Navratilova.
This isn't the Johnny Weir salute.
Oh, there you go. Joe, you have a comment on the show? Stop it, Bill. Email us. Why is he here? Somebody take him out of here.
Because he's awesome.
All right.
Thanks, person.
Wow, where'd that come from? A little elf. Email us. It's redeye@foxnews.com. And to leave a voicemail on my direct line, 212-462-5050. It's so easy. Still to come, the halftime report from TV's Andy Levy. He's a real charmer.
Tonight's halftime report is sponsored by Catching Up With Friends Online, because it's important to keep those close to you informed of the latest happenings in your life. Thanks, Catching Up With Friends Online.
Welcome back. Let's find out if we've gotten anything wrong so far. For that, we go to TV's Andy Levy. So, Andy, just 1,442 days until Sochi, Russia. Exciting, yes?
Absolutely, Greg. And important to note for all you curling fans out there that Sochi's Olympic Curling Center will be a coastal cluster venue, not a mountain cluster one.
Yeah.
Also, it will be a movable venue, making it possible for it to be dismantled and transported for post-games use as a curling center in another Russian city.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow. How about that?
You know what it is? It's all about getting curling across Russia.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Gotta curl.
Curl across Russia, baby.
Yes.
Okay, Greg, I can't believe you made me watch that entire healthcare summit. And then halfway through, you decide to talk about a Frisky commercial.
I know. That was my cat revenge.
That ain't right. On the other hand, congratulations on being what I'm fairly certain is the first ever show on a news channel to go with a cat food commercial as its lead.
Yes. Yes.
PAB, you said Friskies is obviously trying to expand its market to humans. Here's the thing. That stuff, just like catnip, doesn't work on humans. Trust me.
You've tried, I guess.
It does nothing.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. You saved me some money on it.
Okay. Anthony, you got a problem with how the season of Lost is going?
Yeah, I want some answers. I mean, you know, they say they keep going next week. No more questions.
The time
more
for
answers.
Questions is over, yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting a little tired of the questions.
Yeah, I'm with you. Contacts block your eyes from dust, Greg? Really?
Yes.
That's how it works?
Well, sometimes. I notice when I'm smoking and I'm wearing contacts, I don't have a problem. And then when I wear glasses and I smoke, my eyes burn.
Okay.
Go figure.
Yeah. Smoke with your mouth, not your eyes.
That's always been a problem. Damn you.
Great party trick, though.
Yeah, it's great to know a scientist who's willing to experiment on himself.
Yes.
That's how all the great movie scientists do it.
Yes.
That's how you end up looking like a fly.
Yeah, I was going to say. You've been doing it with a cat, though, Andy, and that's wrong.
Is it wrong, Greg?
Maybe not.
Who are you to say?
That's true. I've been mating with a cigarette.
Greg Log, name calling. PAB, you said you care about the environment. You drive a hybrid. I don't think a Centaur counts.
It's sexy, but it doesn't count.
It's damn sexy.
Yeah.
Anthony, you asked what people said before they could compare people to Hitler. Sliced bread, I think.
Okay.
You are worse than sliced bread.
No, it's the How does that go? It's the same something something since sliced greatest thing.
Greatest thing.
Andy.
Oh, really?
Oh, as a Jewish man, you should know better.
What I should know from sliced bread?
Yes.
Why would sliced bread be bad?
And how silly would sliced bread look with that little mustache?
Yeah.
Wow. Actually adorable.
Oh, terrible.
Greg, you seem to think that libertarians don't name call. Nick, can you tell them about objectivists?
I could, but this is a family show.
This is a family show.
Well, like Manson family show.
They like to do the name calling, though.
Yeah.
Where's Gore? Greg, you said Gore has vanished like the once popular lawn dart. I didn't realize. In 1988, the Consumer Product Safety Commission said that lawn darts were responsible for the deaths of three children and banned them from being sold in the U.S.
Yeah, and you know that it was good they were banned because they're dangerous.
Yeah. Excellent.
Way to bring this whole topic down. I thought you were going to take it somewhere.
Right. Nick, was Al Gore trying to ban Rock and Roll Records? I thought that was his delightful wife, Tipper.
Yes, it was his delightful wife. But he engineered the Senate hearing at which Tipper and some of the other parents, Music Resource Council or Center people, got to yap.
The upside is it got Luther Campbell out of music and into parenting TV shows.
That's true.
Yeah, no, that's true. And it did help keep Blackie Lawless off welfare for another 3 or 4 weeks.
But we lost Kaja Gugu. Is it worth it?
We got to get Frank Zappa album out of it, too.
That's true.
Greg, interesting that this story came right after the name-calling and the Hitler story, because in 2006, Senator Inhofe said of environmentalists, quote, "It kind of reminds me, I could use the Third Reich, the big lie. You say something over and over again, and people will believe it, and that's their strategy."
Well, he was referring to propaganda, not people.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, he also compared the EPA to the Gestapo.
Well, again, he's comparing alphabet letters to...
Can we just have some Friskies and chill?
Thank you, Nick. Yeah.
Why, is the EPA snappy dressers? You gotta give them that.
Winning bronze makes you happier than winning silver. Greg, you said the reason for this is most second placers are more likely to think about how close they were to winning, while those who win bronze are just happy to be on the podium. And then, did you say you feel the same way doing red eye?
Did I?
I don't know. Did you?
No. Maybe. Yes.
Kind of a slap in the face to a lot of people, isn't it, Greg?
No, it was a slap in my own face. I was saying because we're a nice little show that is happy that it's here and that we're plugging away, as opposed to you know being a giant show in a big better time slot. I'll shut up.
Lastly, you said you wish Techno Viking were your dad. I think for a small fee you can arrange that.
I bet I could. I just can't find him anywhere. God knows I've tried.
I'll track him down.
All right.
I'm done.
Thank you. Let's welcome back our guest, Patty Ann Brown, Fox News Channel anchor. She's so hot that inexperienced firemen often put her out by accident. Anthony Cumia, terrible, co-host of the Opie and Anthony Show. If cogent commentary were a yo-yo, he'd go up and down in my hand. And Nick Gillespie, Reason.TV and Reason.com editor-in-chief. He's so bright that sunbeams are now called Nick Beams. Well, now, as regular viewers know, I'm a big proponent of spaying and neutering. But what about for animals? What if you'd like a little protection for your pooch, but don't have the heart to cut off their cojones? Well, a 51-year-old Louisiana man has the answer. A strap-on chastity belt for dogs. PABS, sorry, P-A-B, which stands for Pet Anti-Breeding System, is a belt with an 8-buckle locking system, as well as a washable mesh pad for the bitch in your life. That means for about $65, the dog can partake in all normal functions, except, of course, getting knocked up. The company's slogan, when the heat is on, lock it up and stop it, which also happens to be my motto in the sauna. Well, I went to a rep from the canine community for reaction. Like, we can understand him. Learn English or go home. How do they get into our country? How do they get into our country? Oh, Anthony, best or worst idea ever?
Actually, best for, I saw them, they were using them on the Kardashians, that show, the Kardashians.
Really?
Kind of nice. But I don't know, it's a silly idea. It looks silly. Why eight buckles on this thing? That poor little Fido is going to be like me with my first bra. And I have opposable thumbs. Yeah. And I still couldn't figure it out.
Yes, that's true.
Poor you don't really guy. Need eight.
Yeah, that's more like doggy bondage, buckles. Isn't it? Yeah. Eight buckles.
I think a dog would have a better chance flying a plane to get through that thing.
But, Nick, isn't this a more humane way of the other option? Which is, you know, chop-chop. Well,
I talked to McGruff, the crime dog, and he thinks this is going to take a bite out of teenage doggy pregnancy rates.
I love the fact that, you know, a lot of people come to our shows and they don't do preliminary research, but you went...
No, yeah. I, you know, I find any dog that wears a trench coat, you know, I find them trustworthy.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but there's a reason McGruff said that. Gay as a bee.
Really? Yeah, McGruff is gay.
For me, McGruff do not care about reproduction. You know
he was
saying?
Trying to sell me the club for a male dog, so I don't know. I didn't know where you were.
Poor McGruff. What has McGruff done to deserve such rights?
I support your right to marry McGruff. I want you to know that.
Would any dog owner want to put this thing on and have to take it off all the time, really?
Definitely not me. I mean, first of all, I hate it altogether because it's called PABS, and that's one of my nicknames, but, you know. No, I honestly think that...
And you're wearing a chastity belt right now without the mesh.
Honestly, I think that it might be better to spay or neuter because I can't even get a coat on my dog when it's raining outside. They don't like wearing these things. They don't like having it. They're very self-conscious. They are aware of it. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, just get it over with.
You think they'd be self-conscious wearing that wonderful contraption? Yeah. I think they would be the belle of the doggy ball in that thing.
Do they even have self-consciousness?
Yes. I believe they do. You see every once in a while, when their tail goes down, they're sort of looking around.
Have you ever seen how they greet each other? Self-conscious?
Yes. But I will say this, there are times when you see a dog doing his business and your eyes meet and he's like, don't look at me. You notice that when you're walking down the street and then you say, oh, look what he's, and he just kind of looks up. It's like, can you give somebody some privacy?
You know what the thing of it is? He's just weirded out that you're doing it in the same area. That's what his problem is.
Unnecessary. That was because I had a medical issue.
But you brought a newspaper. And you complain that much
I knew it was going to be a long medical emergency.
All right. Okay.
Sometimes you have a problem. All right. Coming up, you'll be entering the no-shin zone. That's right. We interview people who ate shins. What will our interplanetary correspondent have to say about the public option and healthcare bill as it relates to Republicans' filibuster threat? Don't know. I won't be asking him that. Is there life on Mars? And was it carried there from Earth by meteorites? Well, my next guest has not only been to the Red Planet, he impregnated it twice. He's 43 billion years old, hails from Scumdogia, and loves crossword puzzles. He's adorable. We're pleased his pancakes to have back on the show. Odor is Urungus. He's GWAR's lead singer and Red Eye's interplanetary correspondent. The band's latest CD is called Lust in Space. It's in stores now. If you don't buy it, I'll tell everyone about your birthmark. Hey, Odorous, so how's Richmond? Still Richmond-y over there?
You actually made my own little credit with my little name on it. I'm very touched, Greg.
you might have noticed we had that on last time you were here as well, but you probably didn't see it.
No, I didn't. See that.
No, you didn't see that. Hey,
didn't have a TV at the last crappy studio they put me in. There's a TV. What's that you've got on your face, Greg?
Those are glasses. I'm wearing glasses.
Are those X-ray vision glasses?
Yes, I can see everything you're wearing or underneath
you
what you're wearing.
You can see my underwear.
Yes, I can. Hey, I want to congratulate you. You're going to be you're going to be playing in Bonnaroo. Where is that? What is that? June 12th?
Yeah, or something. Indeed, it's a bunch of hippies, and they're all going to die. I don't know why they invited us there. We're going to make a big mess of things. They're letting us close the show on Saturday night. And I have sworn to molest the entire Dave Matthews Band's nostrils with my hideous cuttlefish of Cthulhu.
That's fantastic. I salute you in doing anything you can to Dave Matthews' nostrils. Now, I want to go to this this story about how researchers speculating that life on Mars may be composed of species that came to Earth via meteorites. What are your thoughts on this matter?
Oh, well, that's very true. The feces species, they left Earth. The meteor people, they were called, or something really? Like that. I don't know. They had a beautiful society on Mars until we destroyed it. You know, it was a society that was perfect, idyllic, no wars, and none of that crappy show For the Love of Ray J. They never had that.
They never had that. But theoretically, they
had to die.
But people on Mars then could be considered Earthlings. This is kind of confusing to me.
Yes, and you're always confusing me, and that's not really a hard thing to do. So, next question.
All right, I want to talk about the British Queen's astronomer says that aliens could be staring at us right in our face, and we're just unable to recognize this. Is she onto something?
Well, yes, I heard this is the Queen's astronomer or whatever, and I just want to say to the human race, what better way to defend the planet from alien invasion than aliens thinking all the women on planet Earth look like the Queen?
That's good. Yeah, it's so true. It's true. Why does the Queen have an astronomer? I don't understand that. But I want to ask you, you know, they say that these aliens might not be friendly, but I'm thinking, if you and I met on in a neutral territory, like a restaurant or a bar, wouldn't you be cordial to me?
Oh, always. We've gotten drunk together several times, and I don't think I've really ripped any of your appendages out of the sockets.
No, you haven't. You did eat one of our production assistants, though. That was completely unwarranted.
She was sitting right next to the deli tray, and there were no Oreos.
I want to talk to you about Lady Gaga. You know, some say she's becoming a feminist icon because she prances around like a grotesque version of Britney Spears. Britney Spears. do you buy this?
Oh, yeah, I think Lady Gaga's sexiest thing to hit music since Bjork.
Really? Bjork is sexy, I have to say. She's quite a catch.
Yeah, especially when she's beating the hell out of some Asian photographer.
I vaguely remember that incident. Now, do you actually like Lady Gaga's music?
No, it's complete crap.
Really? I guess you can. I would ask you to elaborate, but I don't think I have to. All right. Researchers have discovered a biochemical link between misery and death. Are you surprised?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, basically, these researchers are the same people that promised us flying cars. You can't believe a word they say. This is crap. Gorilla rips off head. You're dead. Misery, death. Of course it's death. Stupid.
What a cogent analysis. I want to ask you, There's an article in the Wall Street Journal that said there are no good band names left. Do you think that's true?
Oh, absolutely not. There's Liquor Biscuit, Chuck Nugget, Igor Wheelie and the Pie Boys. And there's millions of them.
If I was gonna start a band, what should I call it, Otis?
Gutfeld and the Dumpling Boys. That'll work for you.
Why the Dumpling Boys?
Grabby Gutfeld. Little Greggy Goo Goo Grab.
He's so adorable for a monster. All right, hey, Otis, we got to go. Hopefully everybody's going to buy your CD, Less Than Space, and check you out at Bonnaroo. What are you saying?
I was just having so much fun.
Why does it ever have to end?
Now you make me feel so bad. Well, come here and spend the whole day at the table. There you go.
Okay, good. We'll see you soon. Bye, Bill. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Bye, Otis.
All right. Coming up next, mail time. Yep, it's a cat with a private elevator. Hey, cat, when you get one with a wet bar, call me. Stupid me, cats can't use phones. Love you, cat. There he goes.
Mail time. Mail time. Mail time.
It's mail time, you could guess. The address is right at foxnews.com. You write, I read, then we bake some delightful zucchini bread out of blood and zucchinis. Here we go. Stuart from Portland, Oregon leads things off. I'm compiling a list of the things you seem to despise on your show. So far, I have Griffins, Blue Phones, Bill Schultz, Media Matters, and the Black Eyed Peas. Have I missed anything, you angry little man?
Yes, you have. You've left out annoying email-writing dudes named Stuart who are from Portland. What, your parents hated you so much that they felt compelled to name you Stuart and then force you to grow up in Portland? You suck, Stuart from Portland. You suck a lot. Just kidding. But tell your mom I have her sweats. David emails us, probably using a computer of some sort. You're an idiot. I read your comments on James Cameron's Avatar. You hate the Na'vi because of their jewelry. This movie was obviously way too deep for you. If you think Blackwater types are the same as the U.S. military forces that responded with such compassion in 80, then you truly are demented. What a joke that someone pays you for your opinions. A joke indeed. Hey, David, so I take it you're one of those guys who thought Avatar was deep? If that's what you call a meaningful movie, then if I were you, I'd stay away from any special episode from The Facts of Life. To quote Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the toot. She says some powerful stuff. Dallas, that's a funny name, from Asheboro, North Carolina, writes, why TV's Andy Levy? What about TV's Greg Gutfeld or TV's Bill Schultz? That's because both Bill Schultz and myself have other lives outside of TV. For example, Bill is often referred to as the University of Sequential Hermaphrodites, Bill Schultz. Well, I'm known as Super Awesome King of Unicorn Universe, Greg Gutfeld. But because I'm modest, I leave my title off. Unless, of course, I'm in some unicorn strip club. Then all bets are off, as well as my belt. Finally, Jimbo. That has to be a nickname, Jimbo. I bet you're a rager at parties. From Hewlett, New York, a real place. I thought it was pretty awesome that Rush Limbaugh actually read a Gregalog on his show a few weeks back, and you didn't acknowledge that. I think you're all great. What do you get when you switch the vowels in Bill Schultz's name? Pretty much the same thing. Wait a second. If I switch the vowels in Bill Schultz's name, I get Bull Schultz. I don't understand this at all. Bill, care?
Just so we're clear, a guy named Jimbo is making fun of my name right now. I bet his friends actually call him Jim, Greg, but he corrects him and says, oh no, call me Jimbo. Jimbo, actually, you're kind of awesome. Cheers to you, Jimbo.
All right, we'll close things out with a post-game wrap-up from Andy Levy-bo. And to see clips of recent study shows, go to foxnews.com/redeye. On there right now is my interview with Ozzy Osbourne-bo. Time to go back to TV's Andy Levy for the post-game wrap-up.
Thanks, Greg. Hey, Nick, what's going on over at Reason.TV? You got something with Drew Carey coming up?
Yeah, we do. On March 15th through 19th, the whole week, we're releasing Reason Saves Cleveland with Drew Carey, an hour-long documentary about what went wrong with the mistake on the lake and what might happen to fix it up a little bit.
Excellent. Hmm. Anything about the whatever the hell the name of their football team is?
They don't have a football team. They do have a group called the Browns, which pretends to PowerPoint. Yeah.
What an appropriate color.
Of that. Yeah.
Very appropriate color.
Hey, Anthony, what was the big announcement on the radio show today?
Yes, my radio partner there, Opie, is going to be a dad.
Aww.
Yes. Him and his lovely wife are having a child in April, and I can only hope for the child's sake that it's a kind of a shared thing between the mother and father. I hope the baby gets her looks and her talent.
Oh, that's much better. Opie. I was afraid the announcement was going to have something to do with yay pudding. PAB, how was your vacation in Florida?
Oh, it was great, actually, but it was very cold. How cold, you ask? Actually, it was so cold that iguanas were freezing to death in the trees and then falling out.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not kidding. Awesome. It was literally raining iguanas. It was very unusually cold.
All right. We have to end on that depressing note. Yeah. Thank you, Andy. Patty Ann Brown, very good. Bill Schultz, disgusting. Anthony Kumi, a pleasure. Nick Gillespie, a delight. You can find me tomorrow on O'Reilly before Red Eye. See ya.